I've just got a few thoughts to share this morning, but my prayer for each and every one of us here today is just that those words we've just sung, that it would be well with your soul. I pray that over my life and over your lives, that, you know, through everything we go through, that we would just really know again, if we don't already, we would know it for the first time, that, you know, we can just let go and give our soul to God, and everything will be well. So just an awesome promise in God. Just a little testimony to share before I start. Also, it's just been great to reconnect with Darren and Dorothy, mainly Darren, and saw Jason as well during the week. And so it's just great to see those old friends, and just reminded of just many things that have happened in the past, some great memories, particularly with Darren and Dorothy, who just supported Simone and I when we were leading this church. We were just such faithful friends, and we'll never forget all that you sowed into us. Many, many hours of supporting us and helping us in the journey. So we're very grateful for that still. So thanks, Darren and Dot. It's been great to see you again this week. Right, I'm going to start with a story, and this morning the sermon is brought to you by the letter S, and this is the story of the star, the stable, and the saviour. So it's right out of Luke chapter 2, where we've been having our sermons from. So here's a story in S. "See, a star," stated a slightly stunned, smart, snazzy scientist to several similar smart, snazzy scientists. "These scientists from the South Saudi Sands, Sudan, or somewhere similar, search for the stars for signs. This strange star was certainly a sign. See it shine?" After studying in their studies, sweating in their sweaters, with sleep sparse and soup scarce, these smart, snazzy scientists soon suspected the star suggested a saviour had been sent to save society. "Success! Splendid!" Speaking to the senior scientist, one student scientist said, "Excuse me, sir, should we set out to see this saviour?" The senior scientist stood and said with strength, "Surely we should." So the scientists, excited by this sky surprise, stuffed their suitcases with supplies, spices and special stuff suitable for a saviour. And swiftly, this small set of saviour seekers in snappy sneakers set off across the seas of sand. Silence, as simple shepherds sleep beside their snuggly sheep. Suddenly, a shining spirit showed up, seemingly standing in space. The shepherds stared, simply scared, shuddering in their sandals. "Stop shuddering," the shining spirit said. "The saviour's been sent. Spend every cent. Smell the sweet scent of salvation in a stable. Set off to see this special son. Sing and sing till all is sung." Suddenly, sillions and squillions of supreme supernatural singers sprung skyward, smothering the stars, and started singing up a storm. As suddenly as it started, the singing stopped, and the sky ceased shining, except for the stars. Still in shock, but super excited, every single shepherd and every single sheep sped to the shed where the saviour was said to be sleeping. So, several shabby shepherds, stacks of sheep, and a small set of scientists all set their sights on seeing this saviour. Snug in sheets and straw, sweet and small, the saviour slept in a smelly stable stall. As soon as the shepherds saw the saviour in the straw, the celebration started. "We serve the saviour sent to save us. Secret superhero, supernatural son. Ah, such a super sweetie." In the suburbs surrounding the stable, the scientists strolled up certain streets that the star seemed to suggest, until, strangely, the star seemed to stop, so the scientists stopped. Situated at the exact site where these smart, snazzy scientists stopped, a stable. Yet the scientists weren't simply stopped by the star, they were also stopped by the smell. With the stink of a skunk, this shed stunk. Yet even still, the star seemed to spotlight this small, smelly shed. a stable for a saviour. How silly. Surprisingly smelly spot for the saviour of our species. Scarcely suitable for someone so special. But once the scientists saw the super smiley shepherd singing and the super special sun at the centre of their celebrations, they shouted with sincerity, "Society's saviour has surfaced." What a great story. Did practice a few times so I didn't get tongue-tied. Several times. So, the story of the star, the stable and the saviour. And again, we're in Luke chapter 2 and we're just looking at verses 10 to 11 this morning. If I stand here, can everyone see? Okay, yep, righto, I'll stay here then. So Luke chapter 2, verse 10 to 11. "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord.'" And I love how these verses read in the Passion Translation. "But the angel reassured them saying," so the angel talking to the shepherds, "he reassured them saying, 'Don't be afraid, for I have come to bring you good news, the most joyous news the world has ever heard. And it is for everyone everywhere. For today in Bethlehem, a rescuer was born for you. He is the Lord Yahweh, the Messiah.'" So I love those words there. It says, "He is for everyone, everywhere." It wasn't just for the shepherds. It wasn't just for the wise men. It wasn't just for people back 2,000 years ago, but he is the Saviour for everyone, everywhere. And that's the good news wrapped up, isn't it? And he's a rescuer. He was born for you. He was born for me to rescue us. And this month, as we prepare for Christmas, we've been looking at this awesome story, a true story. We're looking back at the birth of Jesus and how he was born as our saviour, as our rescuer. He's the greatest gift of all time. He brings us hope. He brings us peace. And most importantly, he brings us salvation. And that's the word we're focusing on this morning. The greatest gift of all, and it is salvation. So what does salvation mean? What's the definition? Basically means to be delivered or rescued from destruction. Salvation is to be delivered or rescued from destruction. For a Christian, salvation is being saved by God from the consequences of our sin. And the Bible actually speaks of salvation in a lot more detail than simply us being rescued from hell. And as we look a bit more at this this word today, as we think about salvation, we're going to look at the who, what and why of salvation. What are we saved from? Who is it that saves us? And why do we need it? Why do we need salvation? Okay, so firstly, what are we saved from? So the very nature of the words means that there's some sort of threat or danger to our lives, or that in fact a deadly condition, and we need to be rescued from that. And there's lots of things that are in our lives that we need to be rescued from. For some people, it is about hopelessness. And they see that Jesus is our hope, and he restores hope, he brings hope into our lives. For many people, perhaps salvation is bringing purpose back into our lives. You know, there's so many people that lack purpose in this life, and for many, salvation is what brings that purpose back. Many would see salvation as being rescued from addictions, and it certainly does that. Or perhaps it's the brokenness that we see in the world. So many broken relationships and broken lives. And salvation certainly saves us from those things. Maybe you see salvation in the difficult circumstances that you're facing. Maybe even today there's difficult things that you're facing and you're hoping and praying for salvation in those things. God does all this. He rescues us from hopelessness. He rescues us from the brokenness. And he saves us from our suffering. So it can be different things for many different things for different people. Because all of us face different circumstances in life. But there is one common denominator in all this, and that is another S word, and it's called sin. Sin is what we're all affected with or infected with, and salvation is God's response to that. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, the primary Hebrew word which is translated as save or salvation, and it often refers to people being delivered from real life situations. And the Bible sets up God right through as our deliverer, as our saviour, as our rescuer. And then when we get into the New Testament, the Bible mainly talks about salvation as a deliverance from God's judgment, from God's wrath. And we've just got some verses up there. Thanks, Luke. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 10. And they speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. He is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment. Romans 5:9. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. So Jesus came and was born as a baby, but yes, he grew up as a man on earth, and he was without sin, unlike us, and part of God's beautiful plan was to save his people, to save us, to rescue us. A guy called John MacArthur says this: the real problem is sin and guilt. That's the issue. God sent Jesus to rescue us from the consequence of our sin, and everybody falls into the category of a sinner. It doesn't matter whether you're among the haves or the have-nots, whether you have great expectations or none at all, whether you're consumed by your passions or whether you exhibit a degree of self-control and discipline, you're still a sinner. You have broken the law of God and he's angry about it. Unless something happens to change your condition, you're on the way to an eternity in hell. And all of us need to be rescued from this. All of us need to be rescued from the consequences of our sin. And that's why Jesus came, to rescue us from our sin. Sin is the greatest problem, and the consequence of our sin against a holy God. That's what Jesus came to save us from, save us from the consequences of our sin. So that's the what. Who is it that saves us? Well, it's pretty self-explanatory, but let's look at it. God is definitely the only one who can bring salvation. The Bible very clearly says that. Bible actually says that through unbelief, or when we trust in ourselves, or we trust in other people or other things for salvation, that's what the Bible calls unbelief. We've gotten ourselves into this mess, and God is the only one that can save us. 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. So it's God who saves us. It's just part of his beautiful plan, his plan of salvation. I'm just going to look at some verses now in Galatians chapter 4. And this sums it up beautifully. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. So God is the only one who can save us. He actually goes a step further and calls us his children. He adopts us into his family. And God is our ever-present Father, our Heavenly Father. We can run to him any time of the day or night. We can run into his arms as often as we need. Years ago, people used to call Christians God botherers. They probably still do a little bit. But I don't mind that term because God likes to be bothered by us. You know, we can be a God botherer any time because that's God's plan. He wants us to run to him. He carries us. He sustains us. He encourages us as we walk and journey through this life. It doesn't matter if we're up on the mountaintop enjoying the highs of life, the highest moments. You know, God is right there beside us, celebrating and cheering us on. It doesn't matter if we're down in the valley, down in the pit, facing life's toughest disappointments, facing struggles. God's still there in that situation with us. He's still there to comfort us. And a couple of weeks ago, I woke up on a Sunday morning and Simone was heading to work, so she wasn't coming to church. And I woke up feeling just bleh. I felt depressed and disappointed in so many things. Wasn't angry with God or frustrated with God, but just felt yuck. And I thought, I don't really want to go to church. I don't really want to be around people today. I'll just wallow in my misery. And stay home. But I didn't do that. I actually came to church because it is a habit in my life, and it's a good habit to have. I remember Trevor Marshall speaking a long time ago about having that habit, developing that habit in our lives of coming to church weekly. It's a great habit to have, and it certainly helped me a couple of weeks ago. So I walked into church, wasn't feeling that great. But right from the first song, I just felt God's love, God's presence here in a really tangible way. And just all those disappointments and hurts started to fall off me. It was just great to be here with church family. You know, you guys wouldn't have known what was going on in my life, but I was encouraged just being around church family and especially being able to lift my voice, let go of things and let God come into my soul as he so beautifully does. So God's there with us in the good times, cheering us on, but he's also there in the tough times, comforting us, wrapping his arms around us. And, you know, we've been adopted as his children. And this is a beautiful gift that can't be taken away from us. Just cannot be taken away. Doesn't matter how well we might live up to our own expectations or even the expectation of others. None of that matters. None of that counts. What matters is God calls us his children. Salvation doesn't happen through our own willpower or by our own works and doings. It's purely by the grace of God sending a rescuer, sending a saviour for us. He sent his own son and claimed us as his children. And he's sent the Holy Spirit into our hearts. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that's you and I. Every one of us is a sinner. And the only way we can be saved from our sin is through Jesus. John 3:16-17. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And God did not send his son to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. That's the essence of it all. That's the essence of salvation. So that's the what and the who. What about the why? We've already covered a fair bit of that, but why do we need saving? You might think of salvation as a fresh start, and it is that. It's like God cleaning the slate. It's him giving us forgiveness, giving us a second chance. Actually, he's the God of the second chance, the third chance, the fourth chance, and so on. But it's not just that. It's more than that. It's more than just salvation or being saved from something. It's actually being saved to someone, saved into his family. We are saved from our sin and brought to God. We're some parts of the Bible, it talks about how we are rescued from the slavery of sin and brought into freedom. We've been made right in God's sight by faith, and we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us, Romans 5:1. So we're saved from God's judgment and we're brought into peace with him. And again, the Bible shows us where sin brings death, destruction, chaos. The good news of salvation is that it brings life and life to the full. And out of all these benefits, there is so many, but out of all these benefits, probably the greatest one is that God brings us back to himself. Because you and I were created to be in relationship with God. That's exactly why God created you, so that he have relationship with you. And sin is what messes that up. Sin is what breaks that relationship. And so grateful that God has overcome that problem for us. He so desperately wants to be in relationship with you and I. And that's why he came up with a plan of salvation to rescue us, to save us, so that he could have that relationship with us. And so as we think about that, as we think about relationship, relationship isn't just a one-off event, is it, that happened 20, 50 years ago? Relationship and salvation, I believe, is a daily thing. It's about walking with God each day. It's not just something that happened in the past. It's a daily thing. And in a sense, God is working on us. Yes, it's a beautiful plan that he restores that relationship with us through salvation. But he wants us to keep growing in him, to keep growing closer to him. So we're in the process of being saved. As well as already being saved, we are in the process of being saved as well. So as we read in Luke, the angel said to the shepherds, "This has happened today. The birth has just taken place." And, you know, back 2,000 odd years ago, the world was a very dark place. And this beautiful story of salvation is when hope was born into the world. But it's still the same today. We could agree that the world's still a pretty dark place. But when we cry out to God, the Saviour comes and hope is born into our hearts. And how much do our hearts need that hope? How much does our community and our families need that salvation, need that hope? And Christ is ready to be born into our lives today. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, but right now. Today is the day of salvation. And I love how 2 Corinthians puts it. For he says, "I listened to you at the time of my favour, and the day when you needed salvation, I came to your aid. So can't you see, now is the time to respond to this favour. Now is the day of salvation." So a saviour was born as our rescuer. He came to bring salvation, which is the greatest gift of all. It was Jesus himself who brought us hope and peace and salvation. We are saved from the consequences of our sin. That's an awesome thing. It's only God who can save us. Nothing else, no one else can save us. It's only God through his son Jesus that can save us. And why did it happen? Because God so desperately wants relationship with you. He so desperately wants relationship restored. I don't know where you're at today. Only you and God know that. But my encouragement would be to take a step closer to him. Maybe your salvation experience happened a long time ago and maybe you've drifted, I don't know. As I said, only you and God know that. But I pray right now that his Holy Spirit would be prompting you in your heart, in your soul, as only he can do, and that you would just grab hold of that again, that you would, because that's the only way we're truly going to find fulfillment in our lives, is when we accept the gift of the Saviour. So today is the day of salvation, and salvation is a pure gift. It's a beautiful gift, one we don't deserve, one we can't earn, but it's one we can definitely give thanks for. So, and we can also share it with other people. So let's stand, and I'd love to pray for us all. God, I thank you for this beautiful gift of salvation. Thank you for the peace, the joy, the hope, the love that you bring into our lives. And we just want to honour you today, God. Thank you that you're our deliverer. Thank you that you have rescued us. Thank you that you have saved us from the consequences of our sin. And God, I just ask by your Holy Spirit right now that you would just work in my heart, that you would work in the hearts of each person here, that you would encourage us, that you would prompt us in the right direction. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be soft towards you. I pray for anyone here who doesn't know you right now, God, who's never experienced that joy of being rescued, of being saved from the consequence of sin. I just pray that salvation would come to your house today, God, that person or persons would seek you out. They would talk to someone and just find that hope and experience that eternal trust and hope in salvation. So we just bless you, our Heavenly Father, and we thank you that you desire a relationship with us. And thank you for your beautiful plan of salvation. Amen.